Blog Talk Radio.
The bloom, the swoon, the sugar's on your block. The planets let them flash in the corners of New York. The ghetto, the meadow, the Mr. Butterfly, the honey bugs dug and licked the honeydew. The sun, the kiss, the funk for a bit. The lips with the soul and some jazz for your hips. The puff, the buzz, the lids be heavy slick. The mecca get a rush when the beats be very thick. The hands, the feet, the brown baby treat. The femmes fumble loose and drink the doodle juice. The steps, the flams, the planets got damp. The people get a grip with the tape from a jam. A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk. The big, the fat, the cool, cool cats. The psychedelic soul puts the planets on the map. The chic, the love, the far out name. The lack of the funk's the main, why we came. The boogie gets done, the colors won't run. The funk hits the square, the kids gotta come. The pizza with the pop, the West 4th stop. The crew after crew that do the grasshop. The true cool is black, the new school is fat. The beats by the ounce, the funk by the pack. The groove is the fix, the jitterbug fix. The hanging off the butts with the fat soul kicks. That's my nickel bag of funk, my nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
I checked me up, I said a nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
Oh, a nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
The wide, the hip, dig it, it's the trip. The loops, the scene, and the funkifying it. The sounds, the pounds, the stacks, the flares. The baggy, baggy jeans, the naughty, naughty hair. The twinkle in the eye, the kisses living fly. The crew from the sky, the stuff to get you high. The action, the work for the rhyme. We goes the whole nine. The papers won't rot, the vapors get got. The streets get the buzz, the funk off your block. The opium groove, the smacked out soul. The kicking it live, the fat gotta roll. With my nickel bag of funk, my nickel bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk.
Yeah, it's a nickel bag of funk, a nick bag of funk.
A nickel bag of funk, a nickel bag of funk.
Nickel bag, a nickel bag. Ladybug will hit you with a nickel bag. A nickel bag, a nickel bag.
Butterfly hit you with a nickel bag.
A nickel bag, a nickel bag. Doodlebug will hit you with a nickel bag. A nickel bag, a nickel bag. DP's always hit you with a nickel bag.
Welcome, everyone, to Headliners Ball. This show's format gives both authors and audiences alike the chance to entertain a deeper discussion regarding a choice selection of poems from the author's catalog of work. Headliners will perform pieces in their intended style. In turn, they will receive encouraging feedback from an all-inclusive panel of late-night poet callers. I am your host, Jeremy F., and as always, I am joined by my lovely and talented co-host, Pam Ray, who during her long tenured career with NASA was charged with designing everything entertainment, including the bowling alley, the dance hall with a disco ball, and the oxygen-free zero-gravity sauna room on the International Space Station. Pam, how the heck are you?
Oh, I am doing awesome. I love the lineup of poetry tonight. Looking forward to listening in and hanging out and all that fun stuff. And, yeah, and how are you doing?
I'm doing lovely. Yeah, no, I'm stoked, as always. I know I say the same thing every week, but we got two heavy hitters tonight in Fallon and Thomas B., I believe. Is that correct? Are they with us?
Yes, I am.
Yep. Hello, Tom. Hello, Fallon. Welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, guys, how you doing tonight?
I am doing great. I like your little music. That had me going.
we do it to get everybody's booty shaking. Yes. No, it's fun. It's fun. Thomas, are you with us tonight?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you. I know it's a late night for you, so I appreciate you joining us, and I look forward to having a deeper conversation with you both. As always, we go, before I start, Pam, do we have anybody else that's joining us tonight?
Yes, you have Dude and Afaziana to help you with commenting and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Very cool. Welcome, everybody. As always, we're going to start with ladies first. So, Felon, your first poem,
yeah.
Martha Jean, is on the board, ready for you when you are.
Thank you. And this is to my mother. She passed away exactly 2 years ago today. And I dedicate this to her. And it's Martha Jean by Felon. May 22nd, 1951, bared a daughter to Ed and Joyce. Her birth was a small celebration within the Millageville. Poverty was a commodity often shared by her neighbors. She marked the third child as two more would follow. Dysfunctional rearing sought to shape her future. Age 14 cut all the strings from her mother's apron. As Joyce vanished, but not alone, she took her sister-in-law's husband, Howard, too. Years of Ed flaunting his encounters with other women came to a head, taking Vera of the five she had birthed. Martha Jean had to take charge and raise three boys and one girl, taking her attention from school and employing to a local diner. Known as the Yellow Jacket and famous for their hot dogs, moments of hanging out with the girls or dreaming of boys, occupied with cleaning, cooking, and laundry. The money earned was spent on the very basics. See, Ed didn't view deodorant or hair products as a necessity. Martha Jean came to see poverty had levels in being poor. Mending two of the three pairs of panties she owned, attempting to sew the holes to the cotton that laid like cotton candy. This was a story my mama, Martha Jean, told me. Events I never had to experience. See, mama refused to allow dysfunctional behavior in her house. Well, so she thought. And learned of years of it later. Her two brothers whom she raised took my innocence. The day that the truth came out left me speechless, feeling as though my pain meant nothing. Only now do I see she was behaving the way she was raised, no mother to help mold her when becoming a lady. Filling the shoes that walked down her and never looking back. How could I ever see her as I did, robbed of time and to discover her mark in this world, denied an education on grounds of being a caregiver. Mama cared for everyone but herself. Unarmed with wisdom and lacking confidence to take on the world, Mama, you gave all that to me. You sacrificed standing above a crowd to shape me into the woman who can hold her head up so proud and high. Please forgive the days when I cussed your name, yelling, "Why did you leave me?" Regrets shake as I took all that for granted. As salt rolls against the peaks of my lost smiles, speak your praise, though only I can hear. Miss you, my sweet mama, and thank you for loving me, even when I wouldn't allow you to hug me. Wish that moment would once reappear, and so I see you again, my arms embrace, all that you are, end poem.
Fel, I really appreciate that you included this one, and I appreciate the extra effort that you put in making sure that we included it. So I'm going to start with you, Fazy. Fazy, what are your comments?
Oh, this one is such an emotional piece. First of all, I'm sorry for your loss, Felon. I know we talked at the time that you were losing her, but it's just, you know, as the anniversary, I know it's hitting you hard again. I really love the way that you express this. When you say, at age 14, cut all strings from her mother's apron, I mean, that's such a creative and interesting way of, you know, saying that she no longer had her mother's support. And she, you know, she basically lost being the child. But I love the way that you say it, cut all strings from her mother's apron. It's a really poetic way of putting it. There was another place sort of like that later on. Attempting to sew holes to cotton that laid like cotton candy. That's such a, like, fun way of saying something horrible. Like, the fact that the struggle was there having to sew your old panties. I mean, that's awful. But you say it in such a creative way. And then you're so open and, you know, willing to talk about things like the uncles taking your innocence. Again, we've talked about this, so I'm not going to get into, you know, the whole thing. But it's just, it's really a vulnerable and yet strong piece. And I think that sums you up so well in that, like, you're open about things, and yet you're still, like, a very tough lady. So I think this is a perfect piece to start with because it shows so much about you and about your talent.
Thank you, Faziana. Thank you. And you did help me get through that night, and I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Wonderful words, Fazy. Dude, welcome to the show. I've never met you before, but I'm happy to have you. What do you have to say about Felon's Poem?
Oh, me?
Hi. I really liked this piece because I really thought it was, first of all, very powerful, and because it expresses, like, the way it was read and the words it conveyed were very just human, you know, because, like, there was a lot of, like, raw palpability and, like emotive expression in the way that, like, just, like, grief and loss and, like, remembering, even though you're remembering something that might have come before you, it's still something that's significant because it made the person, those circumstances made the person that had such an impact on your life. And, like, remembering into the times that this person had an impact on your life, and then the first thing you know, made her way into your life. That takes a little bit different impact because it's a little bit more, like, personal. Those experiences that you describe earlier on begin to take shape in the person of your mother, who is then expressing those experiences through herself to you, and it's just like there's just such an unselfish, very, like, unfiltered human being that comes through in the picture that you express. And there's just a lot of, like, I sense a lot of course, there's a deep sadness that comes along with the authorization of a piece like this. But then at the same time, you can sense, like, the subject of the piece is, you can still get a clear picture of what the subject of the piece is. And your mom is, like, I can sense that, like, she was trying her best all the time, you know? And, like, she was, like, doing everything she could to give all that she was to everyone around her. And, like, that's a rare and very extraordinary thing in a human being. So, like, appreciate that you were able to convey those two things, the deep sense of grief and loss, because that's really important for emotional processing when it comes to grief stuff. And then at the same time, you were able to convey, like, a huge message about your mom. So, like, I commend you for writing this piece because it takes a really strong person to be able to write something like this. So
thank you so much
for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Wow. Very sweet words, dude. Thank you for all that. Pam, what are your thoughts? Pam, are you on mute? Are you with us?
She generally says, be right back.
I am on mute, yes.
Give it another shot.
Pulling the
And Before I comment, I would like to let you know that we also have another caller, Socrates. So welcome, Socrates. Glad you could be here.
Hello.
Glad you could make it.
Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. I got you on the list for sure. We can't wait for your comments. Pam, but you get to start. What do you have to say about Thelma's poem?
Oh, my goodness. Raw, emotive, honest. You know, as you know, there's a lot of similarities between our childhoods and our mothers. I can relate to the idea of not realizing what a strong person somebody was and what a difficult life they went through until after it was too late. And this is a highly charged emotional, autobiographical piece. It definitely is absolutely one of my top favorites of yours. And I guess now when you write something like this, do you find it very therapeutic, very healing? Do you think about how the impact that it will have on helping others to heal in their journey of being a survivor of abuse?
Yeah, because normally when I write a piece like this, something that is really something of me and something of someone that I love, especially my mother that I did, I would share it with my friend Nicole, and she was brought to tears, and I've not even shared it with my father because I don't know how well he would receive it, because they're just not into that kind of stuff, and they don't like, they're very, you know, very personable, and they don't like things, nothing about the family should be told outside of our home, but I believe that sometimes you have to tell your story to save someone else's from being read the way yours is, and I think that this was very therapeutic, because I've got to see my mother for the person that she is, and then she was an amazing woman, and I just could not see that before me because of everything that I was going through, and then I finally seen the strength that I had was all because of her. She's the one that made me stand prouder, you know, higher than I thought I could. And wow, I'll never forget that last day. She put her hand on my face and said, "You're my shining star." And that was the last thing she ever said. And I cling to that. I was blessed to hear that.
How sweet, Val. How sweet. Thomas, what are your thoughts about this poem?
Being the last person on something like this puts you in a position where most of what you want to say has already been said. I spent 6 years in adult children of alcoholics dealing with the dysfunction of my own family as the oldest of six, with a father who was in the Navy and out at sea, and a mother who had a nervous breakdown. We now call those panic attacks. She liked them only in the end because they gave her, as she called it, her mini vacations at the hospital. Writing something like this takes a certain level of courage as well as a certain level of inner revelation, because it's letting other people see, especially when one of the major parts of dysfunction in a family is keep it all in the closet. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. And certainly don't put it out where anybody else can see it. And so that right there is sometimes the biggest part of healing, is just being able to step out and take a look at all the wounds. And you definitely take a look at the wounds. The business about the under reminded me of my mother and what's called a darning ball, and darning the holes in socks, because it was cheaper than going out and buying new ones. And, you know, I learned to ask for one present a year, and rather than getting a bunch of little stuff that was just going to break and disappear, especially because years later I found out my brothers and sisters loved going in and tearing up my stuff on purpose. And somehow that made them feel better. So who knows? Family's family. And by the time I got to the end of this, besides making me cry, all I could think of was one of the lines that is most repeated in Adults Who Are Alcoholics, which is, all you can do is realize and wake up one day and really realize that your parents did the best they knew how with all the love they had, and you couldn't ask
them to do.
This is tough, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, Thomas, that's, I really like that. I mean, it does take a lot of courage, Sal. And you know I like your pen. You know, we've talked before about your poems.
Right.
And what really is touching about this is that when, I mean, we can hear it. We can hear it when you're performing it. And that's the beauty of the show, is we actually get to talk to the authors that when they're presenting their work. And you wrote this 10 months ago, and even reading it today, we can hear that it touches you. And, I mean, expand upon this question as much as you want, but when you write an ode like this, even after a year, after 10 months, even after a day, how does the meaning or the impact of this poem change for you personally, looking back on it after you've composed it?
I think it hits you deeper. I think it hits you deeper because you were only realizing what you were realizing at that time. You're not seeing everything for what it is, you know, all of the collateral damage of your past, because, you know, I'm not innocent in my past, and I share, you know, brunt of a lot of things that went wrong. You know, I fucked my kids up, you know, some of the things I've done, because, you know, just because two wrongs don't make a right, and just because someone did me wrong, I shouldn't have to do someone else wrong. I should still live my life the right way, and that's what I do now. And but I will tell you this on a funny note, what makes this, I wanted to add it to the end. I can remember my mother saying before she started losing consciousness, she calls me AJ. She said, AJ, now when I go to the crematorium, you have to go with me. I said, what? I'm not going there. I'm not going to watch them burn. She goes, well, I just want to make sure you don't, none of them freaks over there want to have sex with me. I'm like, oh my God. And she did not just say that, but she was serious. She was dead serious. I said, I'm glad you found yourself that attractive, but I don't think nobody's going to mess with you. She wanted me to go. So my dad was like, did she just say? I said, yes, she did. He goes, wow, Jean, wow. So, I could add more to this and more, because it just, I think the impact of a write becomes more impactful the more you read it yourself. Read it over and over. And people say, do you rewrite your pieces? I'm like, never. I never rewrite them. They stay the same. And if I want to add something, I write a different poem, because I don't want to take away from the moment that I wrote this and the thoughts that I had. So thanks for asking that question.
No, it's very cool, and I love that answer. I love that it has more meaning to you as you go back on it, because I go, for me personally, man, it's not about me. Yes, no, I think that's very cool that you go back and you still glean the same feelings or even more intense feelings going back on your write. So, I mean, in that way, it's a very cathartic process, this whole art of poetry, and you're very talented in it. So I love that answer. Socrates,
thank
what
you.
Are your thoughts?
I think this is a very emotional poem. I could hear Felon just cry, you know, while she was reading it out loud. And unfortunately, I have ADHD, and I didn't get to hear the title of the poem. So I don't know which poem it was. So I don't remember anything of the words. But I thought it was a very lovely poem, and I agree with Felon that you shouldn't have to rewrite a poem when you do it in the moment, because it makes it a lot more special, because you have all that emotion of the thing that got you to write the poem in the first place, and I totally agree with that.
Thank you, Socrates.
You're welcome.
Yeah, very cool thoughts, man. And we're putting, when we do these, we're putting all of the poems on the Late Night Poems Poets board. So if you go to All Poetry, you can see and read along if you want to go back and read while we're discussing and all that. It's on the Late Night Poetry, on All Poetry, on the Late Night Poets board, on the comment board.
I'll send it to you, Socrates. I'll just send it to him. I'll send it to him.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Yeah, I
got
it. I got you.
Your next one is up when you're ready, Fel.
Oh, this, you're going to love this one. Hold on 1 second here. I'm sending this to him. All right, let's see. There you go. All right, this is called Greedy Bitch, and it's by Felon. Must be hard always seeking to shine, to be an almost, not even the next in line, to try and stand up to a short, absent spine, living on my goodbyes, yelling, it's all mine. My returns put your ego fill on a knotted bind, the light till you saw your rage to a rewind, where your hype loss is fitting in its self-boasting climb, just another half-bit rhyme trying to say it's her time. See, I don't need insurance when it comes to claiming my space. Your lines are so easy to remove when I come back from the grave. Word for word, your ink is an easy line to erase. Lost in seek direction, caught up in your own maze. Knowing you'll never be more than just a fading phase, this ghost will show you spoke a little in haste. Defeat me, stating complete me, please, you air of useless waste. See, I'm ready for the meal, and your ass is the bitter taste. I love to perform before an open house, make you disappear within the crowd, show how feline gets down. Meow. Dropping bombs to your name, sending up in mushroom clouds, give the girth to the worth and show are not in doubt. I'll talk a lot of shit, but bitch, I'm spit loud. When parting the dirt to that you just got plowed, can you see it now after you wrote what you felt so proud? Until the fear is a smear, shut your fucking mouth. End point.
Hot rod poem. Dude, you're up first.
Wow, that was a hitching the face kind of piece. I really liked that because I really liked how it was kind of like a constant, like, seeking, you know, a constant, like, you know, a constant, like, searching for more and more and more. And as a recovering addict, like, I completely get that, you know, where it's like, you know, that feeling of just like not being satisfied even with excess, you know. and it's just like one is too many and a thousand is never enough, you know, where it goes to the point where it's like, but it's like, it's just like once it starts, it never stops, like that kind of feeling, you know? And I really just, I feel that so hard with this piece, you know? And I really like that, the devil may care kind of attitude that goes along with this kind of with this piece as well, you know, where it's like there's no real, like, I think that goes along with the title too, Greedy Bitch, you know, where there's no, like, you know, there's really no, like, you know, care is given to, like, whether it's a good or a bad thing. It just is, you know, and I think there's a beauty in that where it's, like, it goes more. It's more than just, like, it's beyond good and evil, you know. It's just, like, it is what it is. I want what I want, and I get what I get, you know. So there's something, like, very, like, of course, you know, it's unhealthy, all said and done. But, you know, beyond
no, it's
that,
healthy.
I think in I think in terms of art, you know, there's like a lot of, it's very, like, you know, there's a real beauty in that, you know, where it's like, you know, like I'm going to get everything, literally everything that I can think of, you know? And it's like, not because I need it, but because I want it, you know? And like, that's really, and that's like, that's just like something very, very astounding that you were able to put that into words. So, like, I'm very like impressed with this piece.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
Great thoughts, dude. Thomas, what do you have to say about it?
Well, this is the kind of thing where you just want to go, hey, step back, Jack. Here are the facts. I'm going to lay it straight. This is how you rate, and I'm not going to put up the score anymore because you don't even reach up to the board. It's that kind of thing. It makes the heart somebody strike out and say, hey, you don't even make it because you don't know how to play on the team. What else?
Can I say? I mean, I'll just go ahead and fill in. This is I belong to a rap battle group, and this was sort of somebody I was feuding with, and I just went off the deep end for a moment. But we're still friends. We're good.
Yeah, I mean, what I grew up with, and I'm definitely showing my age, is I grew up with the Dirty Dove Dozens and Yo Mamas, and before that, just straight jive. Time they got
right.
That's just a faster action than the stuff I learned to do nice, smooth, and slow. You know, but heart grows, so you just got to watch where it goes.
Thomas is dropping some serious comments tonight. Step back, Jack. These are the facts, Ellen. I love
right?
How
he
turned
he's just hoping didn't know it.
I love that comment, Thomas.
Wow, where I was becoming such a king of one-liners that I discovered I hurt the feelings of people I didn't mean to hurt, so I stopped a whole lot. Because while it's funny, you can say things that are really funny, you have to be careful about the feelings of the people who get laughed at when you're laughing, you know what I mean? And
fair enough.
Sometimes
can't laugh at yourself, don't laugh. That's really how you got to do it.
Quiet.
Hey, so my comment on this one, and you and I have talked about it before, is when you compose poetry, you have a definite style in your layout and your formatting. And this one's different than anything I've seen from you. Can you talk a little bit about, I mean, I think there's a lot about what Dude was talking about, the fast pace of this thing and how it carried
right.
so much. And it really was a gut punch. And the format of this works for that. But this seems to be outside of your normal comfort zone or what I see usually from your pen. Is that a true statement?
Well, yeah, because this is a rap battle. This is where you go head to head with someone else. They'll put up some lines or bars, as they say, and then you put up yours, and it's basically you're putting each other down, and it's on a personal level, but not a personal level. I mean, you have to have very thick skin to do this. If you don't have thick skin and you can't laugh and say, "Oh man, you got me good," then you don't need to do it because it can really cause problems. When I first started doing it, it was kind of hard to get used to. I mean, the inner bitch in me was there, and I wanted to possess that part, but at the same time, I didn't want it coming back at me at one point, but it did. But this format here is just this was me just not – this is no editing whatsoever to it. I just went with it, and I just wrote it, and I just left it because I was pretty pissed when I wrote it because it was in the beginning. I got my feelings hurt. And I had to learn that step back, and it's not about me. It's about the enjoyment of the hobby of battle rapping. And so once I got past that, I was able to start enjoying it a whole lot better and actually started battling, I think, a little harder. So this is definitely a different format and it's something at length that I normally don't do. So thanks for asking that.
Well, you slid right into the arena. Go ahead. Well, I think you slid well into the arena. I think this works very well for that battle rap kind of feel. So kudos to you. I like when poets go outside of their comfort zone. Socrates, what do you have to say?
I think this is an amazing fast-paced style. And it reminds me of Tupac's Thug Style, which is when this whole beat drops, we're just going to give it to him kind of thing, you know? And I love how every comma, there's a rhyme, and it makes me think of a narcissist, actually, like someone who's really greedy, but also, like, thinks the world's all about them, and the world is all rotates around them, you know, but this one part, it says, let me find it, it says, that light you saw are raised to a rewind, where your hype lost footing to a self-posting climb. Makes me think of a movie, you know, like someone thinks that everything's a movie about them, you know, in life, you know, like they say cheese and stuff, you know. So I think it's an excellent write, and this reminds me of how I used to write way back in the day before I, like, ever edited any of my work. And I think this is way better than any work I've written like that, so congratulations. You did a great job.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone's got to be humbled by a Tupac nod. Great comment, Socrates. Fazy, I know you love the battle rap. What do you have to say about this poem?
Well, Fela is one of my heroes in the battle rap. I mean, she's taught me some stuff. I mean, I make no claim to be a battler myself. I just kind of, like, facilitate other people's battles. But I see this side of her quite a bit because she does it in the group, in the threads, and I love it. She has a rhythm and a strength, and I remember when she wrote this, and I know what beef she's talking about here. I remember the drama. I won't get into it. I really liked the "give the girth of my worth, show you my hits are endowed." I love that. Yeah, keep kicking ass, Phil. I love it.
I was foaming at the mouth when I wrote it. I ain't gonna lie. I was like a reverend dog.
Very cool. Phelan, this is the point in the show where we get you a chance to unabashedly plug yourself. We know you're on AP. Is there anywhere else we can find your work?
No.
Do you have any? Have you self-published anything, or is there any? I mean,
I've been approached by a publisher, but the way I see it is, I don't really want my work to be published for like a book or something. Maybe I'll write a book of my life, but my poetry, I think that is something personal, and it's the scriptures to myself, and I think I'm just going to hang on to those. I don't really want to put them out there like that. I think that the way I share them is appropriate for me, and I get what I want out of it, and I've met a lot of great people that I've known here for 5 years, and I'm dedicated to this site because there's a lot of great talent here, and I learn more and more every time I read someone else's poetry, so I don't think I'm going anywhere else.
Damn, Fel, I didn't think anybody could say it any better than that. That was really sweet. I like that. I'm glad you found a community here, and I'm glad you're such a great contributor, too, because you're obviously a very talented poetess, and so that's really well put. I like that. Your next poem,
thank you,
if I can get it right, is on the board and ready when you are.
Okay, I'm going to send this over to Socrates real quick. I got him down pat now. Sorry. Here we go.
I can do that if you want, since you're the reader.
Thank you. Thank you so much, if you would do that, Afasiana. And this is Silken Strands of a Prince. Scaling the webs of Father Time's whispers, swinging on charted breaths, serenading drops of dew to offer forgiveness on all that is not bliss amongst the plights of temperance, glorious parting within the sea of her township. Venture is poised with wings to seek legend, debris, the myth of salted beats. Stroke the hue to a vibrant strum, Fahrenheit strands bleeds while she is queen. Quaint is the loneliness of her authorized ruling. Dominance dances on the side of she seeks to release. Calling order to the mice that men find of pest, Sir Mitchin kneels and waits for the mission that called him to serve. An arena to echoing plead, mention, I need to wear jewels. Dripping perfusion to a slaving space, this additive shall bear no nuisance to weakness. Pluck the rarity like a weed from thorns in roses bloom. Embellish the covered binds to the next chapter. Sun crawls to the hands of weeping heels. Pride gallops a forest with no trees, though a seed planted in sold ego. Mitchin sought to fall on the blade of his noble name. Gathered in conceited chest, he is the hope of her nest. Bareback returned of his offering, pitter to the patter of her tomorrows. 10 toes up, breathless in a nail coffin. Duped by a mission sought to lift appendage and periwinkle stars, bid strife calling her knife. Royalties cast to remain in its space. Journey packs a meal to feed miles of broken drifts. Souls peel on terrain of risky greens, sharp hills. Lost in a direction as leading fate in precise line. Hollow crops seeded in clover's patch. Calcium parts one to both sides. Handsome lays to 4 nights away. Thirst is sips from being quenched. Predator salivating in an innocent admiration. He misplaces, bounces on his exhale. Bowing to worship his savage tender. Temperance drips fate to drown. Cresting his ruling as a jewel, she renders her crown. End poem.
Great read, Val. Thomas, start us off, please.
Okay. This had a surrealness to it that makes it both whisper with fantasy, dance with a certain level of illusion, and at the same time strike with a certain sharp clarity to how the heart is often offered with the greatest reason and purpose, and for the and with the hope of giving the greatest amount of source. I don't want to call it source of strength to those that you love, only to find yourself feeling betrayed and lost to the point of death sometimes, even when you think you're doing all the right things. There's a lot of nice different levels working on this, and I was sort of letting him drift through my thinking as I was listening. Very well done.
Thank you, Tom.
And so if you threw this one into a huge pile of AP poets, this is what I would definitely identify as a signature Fell piece. And that says a lot. I mean, to be able to create your own style and your own signature feel for a poem, not only in the formatting, not only in the lack of capitalization that you and I have talked about, not only in how you do your little couplets or three-line stanzas, a lot about what Thomas just said, the imagination of it and the fantasy of it definitely is pure felon for me. And so I would pick this out a million times as being one stricken by your pen. And so I think that's a lot to be said because I think that's cool because I think for a poet to adapt a style and make it recognizable and then to develop a fan base, I mean, that's the triple threat right there, Fell. And I commend you for all of that. I really like this poem.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, my question to you is, and you alluded to it really earlier, and we've seen that in the first two pieces that you wrote, is that you say you write poems and then you don't go back. If you have something else, you write a separate poem. Can you tell us a little bit about your process when you sit down at the desk? Are you typing? Are you writing? Or what is your process?
You won't believe me if I tell you. And most that do know me know that I don't when I sit down and write, I don't stop until I'm done, and it usually takes me all of 10 to 15 minutes to write something. If it takes me more than that, I crumble up, throw it away, and walk away. I'm done. Because to me, writing is off the cusp of your thoughts and the cusp of what you see. Because when I sit down and start writing, I write what I see before me or in my mind, what I envision. And I don't waver from it. I've always been like that. And I usually speak like that too, which gives me in trouble a lot. But, I speak what and I write how I feel and what I see. And it don't take me long to write anything. And it just wrote itself. And I usually just, especially prompts, I love prompts because it gives me a challenge to just step outside of myself and my own emotions and my own ways of things going on in my life to actually maybe take something else and kind of mold it. So, yeah, this is different for me because it's a longer write and it was something I can thank Phil for because she says, I don't want no brevity. I want something. And you can thank her for it because she made me write it. And I'm glad she did.
No, and I really dig that, Phil, because it's tough to do, in my opinion, to put something down that touches a reader. But your process, the way you describe it, is just sitting down and grabbing that emotion and putting it on paper. And for me, that is what is really outstanding poetry, something where the reader can really pick up on what you're trying to say. And I think you do a great job of that. So your method, it works, sister. I really dig it. So great explanation.
Thank you.
Socrates, you're up, my friend. What do you have to say?
I think that this piece has amazing formation. And Fel was actually telling me about that I need to work on my formation because she's kind of like a teacher to me. Well, she is a teacher to me. She actually helped me write a bunch, give me tips on like how to write better poetry and work better in my rap group that we're in. And I agree with Fel. You know, the whole like, they say poetry is like, well, they say that you should do quality over quantity with a lot of stuff, right? But that's not the case of poetry. With poetry, it's like quality plus quantity because it's built off of emotion, you know? So when you write something with at the same time that you feel these emotions, you just really get a raw image, and it's just filled with the heat inside your brain, you know, that just creates this masterpiece. And I want to say that I really liked the second and third lines, because the one part it says, glorious parting within the sea of her township, and banter and poised wings gaze to seek legend, to breathe the myth of salted beats. I think that's a very clean line about this like kind of like castle thing that I feel like isn't really not clean. It's more like a little offshore kind of thing, you know, like there's the on all that is not bliss amongst the plight of temperance. So it's not a perfect place, but I feel like there's some beauty in debris, kind of, you know. And I like the third line, the stroke the hue to a vibrant strum, and that kind of goes with the second line, you know, that the whole like rainbow kind of like castle, and just going with cleaning it up a little bit. I also like Dominus dances on the side she seeks to release. I have a feeling that this is about like nature and the whole point of like taking care of the plant and stuff. And I agree with that. I think this is an excellent poem on that. And I'm glad that people actually care about this stuff like I do, because I was around people that didn't care about that stuff for a while. So I'm glad that I found an excellent community that cares about this stuff, and poetry definitely seems to be the way to do that.
Oh, that's a great comment.
Very
thank
cool
you.
Comment.
I tried.
And if you don't straighten up your formation, I'm going to get a ruler out and spank you. That's what teachers do. Thank you.
Faizy, what do you have to say to us?
Well, it's been a while since anyone took a meter stick to my hands, but I do remember that. good old Catholic school. I really enjoyed the way that you use nature imagery here, and you kind of like cross the senses. So like stroke the hue, when hue is generally like, you know, a visual thing, but to physically touch it, and then Fahrenheit strands bleed, and like Fahrenheit being the temperature. So Fahrenheit strands, I'm kind of picturing like sweat when it's super hot, but I don't totally know. I like the sound of that. And then a forest with no trees is so interesting, because the trees are what make it a forest generally. So that's so cool. And then a seed planted in soiled ego. And so because of that, it's not getting the trees. I feel like there's a lot of depth and layers to this, and it's beautiful on the surface, but also kind of like hits you with the subtext. I feel like every line could be broken down and talked about for a long time. I'm not going to do that because I want to get through more poems, but this is beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Faizy.
Great comment, Faizy. Dude, what do you have to say?
So I really thought this piece was like very fantastical in its tone. Like there was a lot of like, especially with like the names, I think it reminded me of like a little bit of a fantasy narrative. But like at the same time, there was that like there's that that element of like the nature imagery, which I think is like the underpinning of the piece, combined with like an element of like the to the point of the previous comment, you know, there's that point of like you know, blending the senses in a way that's really, like, interesting, like, you know, stroking the hue and all of that stuff, you know, like, that's really interesting because it's, like, that's the best way you can describe, like, what it's like when senses, like, blend together like that. It was very rhythmic and very colorful as well. It was almost like spiritual in tone because there was like a lot of like there's a lot of like a lot of nature is like really spiritual in a way, like in the way, especially in the way that you describe it in this piece. So and with the fantasy element too, of course, there's a lot of like, you know, stuff like Lord of the Rings, for example. There's a lot of, you know, stuff like that. There's a lot of like spiritual undertones and that kind of stuff and stuff like that, you know. So just because of like how fantastical and like magical and like, you know, how like just how like seemingly like out of this world and in this world at the same time it all feels. So I really like this piece. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Great comment. So let's try to hit one more before we have to switch gears.
Okay.
There you go. It is up. Only if I could speak.
Get ready. This is a mascara alert. This is Only If I Could Speak, Bob Fallon. Laughter has been put to bed as darkness awakes the monstrous cheer. My bed nestles next to a double-pane window, glass so thick it sings with thunder. Taps as the rain takes its final leap. The moon creeps the shadows, narrating the boogeyman's nightly deeds. Flashbang covers my gasping scream. Lightning-piercing fingers dance from the outlet. Stage has been set, and now on with more than just a puppet show. Silent rides the fears to only a small crack. Path paved in splinters to death's night. Act one presents another rabbit in a hat trick, one that swallows my innocence and allows me to sleep wide awake. Slumber to protection snores among the falling acts. Warmth of moments past. Chills, as my mama says, snug as a bug. Sacrificial bedding. Terror paralyzes the ability to even blink, knowing that magic trick can make him reappear. Dawn rises to the echoes of engines cranking. My night lives just past the beam beneath my door. Within my dreams, I'm Rapunzel letting down my hair to sword with no honor. Above my head, in a wooden notch, I collect another capture. Reality speaks and mutes my escape to telling the truth in poem.
And what you have is you have the honesty and the realness. Again, we've talked about your method. We've talked about the content of the poems we've been able to go over tonight. And you come across so – and it was something I complimented our good friend, our common friend at Fazy about, how honest and real it is. And it comes through so much. And that endears the reader because anytime you can make, in my opinion, anytime you can make the reader believe and get involved in the emotion – then they're going to connect with you, and that's the whole point of all of this. And so I commend you, Fel. I mean, you do it very, very well. And I love hearing you read your poems because not only connecting and reading them, but then hearing you as the author conveying them to us, it's that little extra oomph that makes us connect with what you're trying to get through. And so my question to you about poetry in general is, it's kind of two-phase, but how long have you been doing it and what has it meant to you in your life? Like, it seems like a very cathartic experience for you. And so tell us what poetry means to you.
I've wrote since I could write since kindergarten, really before kindergarten. We used to live in Atlanta. We had a basement and I remember writing with like little mud rocks on the thing. And I would just sit there and just rhyme things. But as I progressed in school, I remember being in first grade and I had a teacher that says I wasn't doing my work and she was failing me. man, I was getting stuff done before everybody else. I was grading the papers while she's reading the paper and drinking coffee. I was doing her job, you know, and progressed as that. And in high school, I was on VICA, which is Vocational Industrial Clubs of America. I was on the debate team, of course. And I did short stories, and I would do what we call written speeches. And, you know, we'd go around the country, and it was a contest or, you know, a competition. And I've always loved, you know, anything written or really speaking your mind, because for one, a lot of people don't know this, but I'm dyslexic as hell. I'm so dyslexic. And this is just a way for me to improve my ability to write better. But that's why I write so fast, because if I really stop to try to, you know, work on things, I get really confused and it starts going sideways. And you can see that sometimes in my work. But I write because it is a source, and most of my stories that I tell, especially something of this nature, is truthful. It really happened. And I speak how I feel. And that's the only way you can get it out, because if you keep it in, it's just going to eat you alive. And if you just let it out, maybe you can help someone else. But most importantly, you can help yourself get past that and no longer feel the way you do on anything, whether you're guilty, shameful, whatever. You know, I think writing is a way of speaking your mind and speaking your heart, and also speaking another day without whatever you have lived through. So you can only gain strength if you let it out. That's the way I see it.
Great answer. Great answer. Socrates, what are your thoughts?
I think this is a very like creepy, but also like really beautiful story, you know? The one part, it's within my dreams on Rapunzel, letting down my hair to sword with no honor. You know, I think that was it sounds like I don't know if you guys watched or not, Naruto when Itachi killed his whole family. Just from what it reminds me of, because honor means respect and letting her hair down. Well, I guess because Rapunzel also didn't have a loving stepmother or whatever she was there. Yeah, I think this whole poem is, once again, very well formatted. And I agree with Felon that, I guess I forgot what she said, sorry. But I feel like this poem is also about doing drugs. And I'm sorry, I feel you right there, if that's what this is about. And, yeah.
No, it's not, Socrates. I'm sorry, it's not. It's something far deeper. It's okay.
And you can take shots, buddy. I mean, that's what this is about. If a poem means something
Absolutely.
Different to you than the author, I mean, take your shot. Exactly, Fel. I'm glad you understand that. No, it's about,
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that's the beauty of this whole art form, is that you can have your own interpretation and it can touch you in a personal way that maybe the author might not have intended, but it's still going to touch you. So that's still part of the whole game, in my opinion. Faizy, what are your thoughts?
Well, I interpreted this about being abused as a child, being sexually abused, which is, you know, a huge, heavy subject. But you make it, like, palatable to read about, because it's a really difficult thing. But you do it in such an artful way. Where is it now? Plays tap as the rain takes its final leap. The moon creeps the shadows, narrating the boogeyman's nightly deeds. And then the flashbang covers my gasping scream. So it's like you're trying to focus on the storm outside to avoid the storm that's inside. The way that you word, like, lightning's piercing fingers dance from the outlet, you know, it's so powerful. I think I might project a little bit because I relate to, I'm pretty sure, what your subject matter is. But I think that you did it in such a beautiful, tasteful way. The sacrificial betting, terror paralyzed, just killed me. That was like a punch in the stomach. You're brilliant, Fel. This like opens up so much, but it's art. You turn your pain into art, and I respect that.
Thank you, Faciana. If I could just say something, Jeremy, about this piece, so maybe it can, because I do want to educate, and I do want to make awareness on the fact that we most young girls, 1 out of 3, are going to be sexually molested or have an incident with incest, and that's what this is about. I was raped and molested as a child, not by one, but by 2 uncles, and I didn't tell anyone until I was an adult, and it took so much of my life away from me, and people don't believe that I have insecurities, but I do, and I'm still that little girl that this happened to, and what really speaks the most to me about this poem is this is my night lives just beneath, just past the beam beneath my door. I could have stopped this so long ago if I'd have just got my dad when he got up in the morning and said, look what he's doing to me. But the act of what's being done to you silences you. So just to make it aware that, you know, this is happening in our on our planet more than you think. And no one has to live with it, and you don't have to do it alone. And so just stay strong and just keep pushing past it. You didn't do anything wrong. They did it to you. So this is what this is about.
Wow, great words, though. Thomas, can you close us out?
this is a very difficult poem for me to speak to, and let me say why. I used to work as an adolescent and family therapist with runaways, because that's where they would start, and we were a place where they ran to, and then we'd bring them into family counseling and everything else like this. And I say that up front so you understand why there's a part of me with a poem like this where I feel there's a whole lot of things I can't say because, in a sense, it breaks confidence. I don't know any other way to put it. I mean, I'm very good at taking people apart, putting them back together again, is one way to put it. I'm a very good therapist, especially with angry, pissed-off teenagers. But not all of them are, by the way. I'm not very good with the ones who aren't. This captures so much of the sense of losing your sanctity, losing the right to having your own wholeness in your control. And
I would agree.
And that starts from the very, very beginning. And when we get down to the very end, it's in the middle is going through trying to find ways to feel some sense of control, some sense of purpose, and that last paragraph about the Rapunzel with the hair and the sword is both about growing a form of armor as well as growing a way of striking back at those who cause you pain. Very, very, very sharp and beautiful piece, done with just a real deep sense of sensitivity to not only the need to say it, but also to say it in a way that is tender and vulnerable so people will hear it. Because if all you did was speak it with the anger that you feel, most people would stop listening before you got to a third word. Beautifully done. Very striking.
Thank you, Tom. I agree, because I wanted to keep the little girl in it that felt these things, because if you So I couldn't convey being a little girl and the things that I've seen looking up as a child, then how can I convey the depth of what it does and how it leaves a mark on someone? But at the same time, you got to leave the strength that you did gain from their wrongs. I think that anybody can get through anything. You just have to push through and just know that it too shall pass. And thank you for helping teenagers and others, because that's a big thing, because I would be in jail because I would kill them, because I don't have the patience, especially smart mouths. Mm-hmm. I couldn't handle it.
I'd have to ask permission, because I don't leave any doors closed, you know.
Right. Well, thank you for what you do.
There's never enough time, Phil. There's never enough time, but that was a wonderful, wonderful brief look into your work. Everyone, we only made
it
4 or 5 deep into Phil's set list. Those are the 12 poems that she provided us to us tonight. I really suggest that you at the very least, please look at her set list, the selection of poems that she wanted everyone to read tonight. I'm sure you'll see what you like. If you do, please dive further into her work. Felon is a heavy contributor here in All Poetry, one of the foundations that we have definitely here on Late Night Poets. So, Fel, it's been quite a pleasure to get to interview you and support your work.
Thank
tonight.
You. And I just want to tell Socrates, I would take Tupac down in a heartbeat. He could not battle me. I had to say that. Sorry. Tupac, you're going down.
Fel, you going, Fel? Go ahead, Socrates. Anyway, Fel, you're a light. No, thank you very much for spending that hour with us. And we have to shift gears now. We get to shift gears now to Thomas B. Thomas, we're happy to highlight your work. Your first poem, short poem, is up on the boards, ready when you are.
Okay, and this is exactly what the title says, short poem. I am a short poem, a never-ending well of words, discovered by silence, whispered to paper, waiting to be nuzzled by dreams.
I like it. Socrates, do you want to start off with comments?
Yeah, I think this is beautiful. I like how it's discovered by silence, because it's a short poem, and whispered, another thing that sounds like silence or means like silence, to paper. I'm not sure what nuzzled means, but I do like that it's by dreams. Huh?
You'll know it when you feel it, I promise you.
Okay, gotcha. It's very exotic or erotic, right? So, yeah, I like it. I love how it's a never-ending well of words, yet it's also a short poem. The whole thing is just like all these things that don't mean short, but it's because the poem, it's very long and very hard to write, very extreme. It's all these powerful words, and it's so short. It's beautiful. That's all I have to say.
Very well said.
Fair enough, fair enough. Faizy, what do you have to say?
I agree with Socrates that I really liked that it was a never-ending well of words when it ends so quickly. I think that's a really clever thing to include that in something that's even called short poem, because it's like you have so many words in you that you have to be succinct or else you could go on forever. Discovered by silence is a really great thing. And then whispered to paper, I think that's such a beautiful way to talk about poetry. I tend to say, like, I bleed on my paper because I just kind of, like, put out all my pain into poems. But I like whispered to paper. It's like you tell it your secrets, and then it becomes poetry. Waiting to be nuzzled by dreams. This whole thing is just so beautiful. It's hard to break it down because it is so short. It's all one beautiful thing.
Thank you.
Great comments, Faizy. Felon, do you have anything to say about this one?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to break it down. For one, what I gathered from it is it's not about how much you say, It's what you say and the substance you get from something. And we can be a well of words. You just have to dig within us. And if we don't have to say much. It's when you, it's what little you say, and it's what the importance of it. If you get across what you need to say, you don't need that many words at all. Believe me, I'm the queen of that. Just get to the point, and that's it. You know, you are. We all are a short point. But you don't want to get too much to chew on for others, because guess what? You get lost in that chew, and they don't remember what the taste was. So you want to give them a nice little taste so they keep coming back. So this is very witty, intelligent, and I love brevities, and this is just something that just zings off the page. Great job.
Great comments, Phil. All right, Tom. Go ahead.
That this was written with a certain level of sarcasm on my part, because everybody was at one point in AP screaming about how you had to do it all with minimalists and be brief and all this other stuff. And I'm not, as a rule. I'm a jive poet, and I run on pretty long, longer than most people are willing to listen sometimes. But so I wrote this in response, and this is really a perfect example of my sense of humor and my seriousness at the same time.
Well, and that kind of throws salt in my question here, because that's where I was gonna throw a flyer at this. If I'm saying, okay, you got to give me 10 poems, you got to give me a dozen poems, you pulled out something that you wrote 10 years ago as a brevity, and I if I was a betting man, there is something totally different going on in this poem than what you presented in front of us. I mean, is there some other kind of motivation, or speak more to that humor of what you're trying to accomplish with this? Because, yeah, I love what my predecessors have said about it. I think it stands on its own. Even if I'm reading it at face value, you can, as a fellow writer, I can feel this poem in its brevity. But I feel, knowing you and reading much more of your work, that you had other intentions in going with this. Would you like to elaborate on that at all?
Well, it is exactly what it says it is. I mean, that's the importance of understanding your words and knowing that your words have to speak for themselves. I often laugh and go, I could write 100 words and have better brevity in 100 words than most people can do in 15, because I make each word count. And that's what brevity really should be. You got to make things sing. And that was sort of just to call it a short poem in and of itself is sort of an FU to a lot of people. There's a lot of me right here, much more than you'll get sometimes in a lot of other things. There's one in that list of 12 poems about the guys crying against spring's arrival, about Alzheimer's. And I have my own fears of Alzheimer's because of motorcycle accidents and all sorts of other stuff. But also from watching my friends go through taking care of their parents who are going through Alzheimer's. And so people go, is that autobiographical? No, I mean, it is and it isn't. But something like this is much more autobiographical than anything else you'll see from me.
That's incredibly cool. That's incredibly cool insight. I like that. I like that you feel that you have captured your spirit and your essence in a way that you know is you. And I felt that in this poem. So I love that explanation. Great comment. I have your next one, Rip Trippin', up on the board, whenever you're ready.
Okay. These things grow on them, grow by themselves. I don't really write them. This is Rip Trippin'. Here's a hot bop with a boogie shot. There's some I remember. More I forgot. So, flip your platter. Play the B-side. It's just some song by some old guy that died, but got a tinkly rhythm with an iron bottom bass that'll chase you out of your downturn, make you feel like you got love to waste. Yeah, it's an uptown swing with a down-home feel. It's got me tapping toe, heel, toe, heel. It'll wheel you when you're feeling thin. Call it natural rhythm. It's just a skin you're in. I'm telling you, it's a boogie and a bop. It's a laughing and a loving. Think you got to stop. Let go of your cues, you give it all you got. The sun will be shining from the sides of your grin. You'll feel like dancing again and again. It won't rip you or trip you, leave you feeling blue. It will hold you. I told you till love comes through. It's not the old times or we got past. It's just a young, lively rhythm that's definitely a gas. You've always had it when you move your feet to the beat. So here's a hot spot with a boogie shot. And I'm coming home. Ain't nothing to be remembered. Ain't nothing to be forgot. It's just laughing and loving. Ha! Bop to do what?
Fazy, we got a new rap babbler. What do you have to say about this one?
Oh, I thought this was so fun. I loved your, like, performance of it. And I have to say performance. It wasn't just a reading. You know, your pace, and like the whole, the cadence of the writing fits so well with the way that you performed it. It had, a beautiful flow to it, and, it's just, I wanted to like dance along with you. It was so fun. You reminded me of Rex a little bit. I'm not even sure why, but like I was getting some Rex vibes from you on this one. And I love Rex, so that's a compliment. I don't know, I'm picturing you like on a bar stool, just like spinning around singing this. It's just, I love it.
I could do them like that, by the way, and have done them like that, by the way. I walk the dog sometimes and run three or four different chai poems through my head and talk them out loud while I'm walking the dog down the road. These get practiced all the time.
Anytime you get a Rex compliment, you should take it to heart. I love that comment, Fazy. Tell him, what do you have to say?
I thought I was at the sock hop. Welcome to the sock hop. I mean, this is really what it's like, the American Bandstand, bandstand. It kind of has that beat to it. And I like it because this is when time was pure. This is when time was innocent and you could go enjoy yourself and walk down the street without having to say, hey, man, who's that creep behind us? You know, we're worrying about what's going on. That this was the good times in life before all of the other BS come along and ruined everything. So this is the time that you could enjoy music and enjoy being around people and being out in public and all of the stuff. Now you can't go out in public because everybody's got their heart on their sleeve or up their ass one something. But I think this is really good, and I like how you animated it. You know, animated it. I mean, you really brought it to life. And when you said I'm coming home, I like that. So keep on singing, bro. I love it. And your new nickname for rapping is going to be Tune digging. So that's you.
It's a much different style than rap. This is true.
This is good music.
No, I like that. I think I didn't even think of it that way, guys. But I like that. I like the timelessness of it. But it's still very modern to me. And maybe it was in your presentation, your performance, Thomas, because that was great. I love when authors get to perform their own work because they know, they give us their intent, and it takes, again, it's like I said with Fell Stop, it takes it to a different level. And this one was a hell of a ride. And the whole way through, I just had a huge smile on my face. And I know that Fazy did too, and I knew that she was going to be the first one to get the comment. And so, I don't know, this was a treat. I really enjoyed this poem. You touched on it a second, and I want you to elaborate. It's my favorite question because I'm always interested in how my fellow poets here at AP create. So can you tell us a little bit about your process and how, like, a poem like this comes to you?
Well, The Wine just showed up. Here's a hot pop with a boogie shot, and I liked it. You know, it felt good. What else can you say about a line like that? And I may have been thinking about Langston Hughes' poem, which goes, I play it cool and dig all the time. That's the reason I stay alive. My motto as I live and learn is dig and be dug in return. But, you know, I could have been thinking about something else. Who knows? My mind wanders. And but I got that line. And then, you know, I play with it. You just sort of let it grow with the feeling, you know. I mean, I once was blow-drying my hair, and Kimball Gawain, Mother McGee, said to me, mind your manners, son. You don't know when, but you'll need them. I liked it, sat down, wrote a poem. The poem sucked. Went to bed, dreamed about it all night long, woke up the next morning and wrote the whole thing. So who knows? Poems have their own life. They get born inside you, and they kick and scream until they show up the way they're supposed to be written.
Oh, that's a great answer. Great answer. Socrates, what is your comment?
I think it was a hot bop. I actually really like this. It reminds me of old school rapping, like MC Hammer and like Blondie and stuff. I also really enjoy the line, so flip your platter, play the B-side. Makes me think of vinyls. So
right.
It's way back in that era, and I really appreciate that because I love collecting CDs and vinyls. Yeah, I think this is an amazing poem. It has, I love, like Ace said, I love your performance. It was really nice to watch. It was really nice to listen to, I mean.
Great comment. All right, Thomas, your next one, Goodnight Kiss, is up. Ready when you are.
Okay, let me see, where are we? The next one, let me hit the... Oh, this one, yes, okay. This is one of the ones that when I first got onto AT 17 or 18 years ago, got me known as the Master of Touch. This is called Goodnight Kiss. Home, the door, the promise, only lips naked, that pause, the black hole in time, to be crossed with a prayer, armor yet unshed, hands enmeshed with another, and a kiss. Tongues escape, hands freed for discovery. Fear still, a whisper heightens sensations, passions say are possible. You feel bodies melting wax. Candles never burned brighter. The language spoken invents new words for each moment as cell after cell demands to be touched, and only the mouth can transmit clearly with swelling lips and darting tongues. Fingers struggle with fears until withdrawing for a moment, such moments when you dive from the cliff, you lean forward to accept the fall, a chance to fly towards your desires, a voice, a little clear voice, says, shall we go inside? You can hear all your dreams telling you they shall come true. A memory of a promise. Promise too often broken to feel safe. Hand on the waist, she turns into you, the first fold of an origami bird. You trace the shell of the ear, then the grace of the neck, your tongue tasting perfumes, salts, all the mineral riches. She is a new land. A wilderness her jungles full of passions, animals, her hands flowing, digging, searching out you. Soft, tender, hard. She takes you, cast along the beach. You kiss the arch of her foot, slide along the ankle, take a sprint up her calf, lingering around the knees, discovering how passionate they are. Her feet walk your back, her fingers tangled in your hair. You trace the outlines drawn by veins in her thighs, trying to map your passions, learn hers as her thighs flex, open and close. Her jungle flowers blossoms again and again before you, its musky odors pulling you towards all of these newly discovered promises. You touch, caress, and kiss these petals. Take her stain and into your mouth. Watch the pool of her belly ripple. Feel her hands clinging to her head. Such kisses unfold a woman before you, pleading for the pleasure your tongue provided. Upward flowing passions river, her hands take muscle and sinew, move across your back, unknotting, reshaping, molding you to her. Your tongue climbs up to ski her areola. Your whole mouth suckles her pleasure, and you feel her quake pulse with her own force. She rises and rolls you over. You surrender. She sits up tall, strong, fills herself with you, just you, you, you. The moonlight silvers the room. Dreams abide in the shadows, warm, complete, tangled together, perfect. Still learning each other, but now knowledgeable. Low laughter, little kisses. You have dived off the cliff, and the water is fine. The sun blinds your eyes, and life is good. You are sure promise has been met. Future doorways shall let you both pass. You count the joys in your heart until they run out into the grace of slumber's kiss.
Great, great read. Felon, you get to start us off.
I need a cigarette, for real. I mean, good Lord of mercy. Jesus. If somebody would have told me this when I was 18, 19 years old, they would have been stuck for life. They would have, if they was going to leave me, they would go 6 feet under because they ain't leaving. If they was to do this to me, oh, my God. Are you serious? This is intimacy. This is taking your time with someone. This is basically giving all that you have and basically every inch, nook, and cranny you have explored of each other, and it's a beauty. It's an art in itself. And young fellows today don't understand that if you was to treat a woman like a woman and respect her and be that pollination to that flower, oh my God, just you would have anything you want, for real. And this right here is a true testament. I think this should be read to all teenagers and say, when you get like this, this is when you become a man. This is manhood. This is when a man knows how to treat a woman and a woman treats a man, because it is in that kiss. It is in that taste. It is in the mixture of becoming one, because I think when you're with somebody, the right person, when you're not with them, you're still with them, and everybody sees you as a couple. And I think, you know, when you can lay beside someone and say nothing, it speaks louder than anything. But when you can touch someone and it just heightens every pore you have, you know that's the one. I'm still waiting on my my fireworks. I thought I found one, but they fizzled out. So, but this is just woof, hot, seductive, but at the same time beautiful, and just a great tribute to treating a woman like a woman. Amazing job.
Thank you. That's a wonderful thing to hear. You know, let me say something right here. When I was first started writing poetry, it was angry, it was stormy, it was good, but it was pretty one-dimensional. And I realized that because when I tried to write something beautiful, it was banal and trite and sounded like crap. And that frustrated me because how could I write one way and be really precise and wonderful and strong, and then when the things that really counted sounded weak and clueless. Well, I was 17. It took me until I was 34 before I wrote what I thought was my first really beautiful poem. But you have to learn how to speak your intentions clearly and strongly for the things that you want in your life to show up. And I hate ugliness. I was bullied because I moved to 9 schools by 9th grade, and I was real smart, and that kind of guarantees you people try to bully you. But I would never bully back because that's participating in the ugliness. I had to find a better way. That's just the way I'm built. And I read somebody's poem on another site ages ago, which is really crude, pornographic, and I hated it. And I went, that's not the way you should say this. That's not the way you need to excite someone. So I decided to write really good sensual poetry. And this really was one of those very early first ones. This is part of the reason why I chose to bring it out tonight, because
I think you did take the naughty, it's got the naughtiness, but it took the vulgarity out of it. It took just the self-gratification of that one person. You took it as a binding of two people, and you took the beauty of it, but you also offered it that little mm-hmm to it. So to me, that takes talent, and it's like reading a grocery. It's like a how-to at the, how to build something. Because most men don't read the directions, and if they read these directions, they gonna get a masterpiece. I guarantee you that they gonna build Rome in a day for sure. So I think this is just excellent.
Thank you.
Oh, I gotta get Fel a cigarette. You definitely got her. You woken her up this evening with this poem.
It's been a
wonderful
long time,
life.
Jeremy.
See, things that are beautiful are powerful than anything else in this universe.
No, I like that. And I like what you accomplished in this poem. I flat out cannot do it. I blush every time we talk about any kind of poem that has any degree of sensuality. I think there's not only because it's difficult to connect without a lot of things that you and Selim just talked about, but also there's a nakedness to it in the words. There's an exposure. There's so much desire. It goes to a personal level for the author that a lot of authors don't want to share. And so I think what you guys just talked about is very true on a lot of levels.
Let me stop you for a second and tell you something. Now, I grew up with a high level of anxiety. In fact, my level of anxiety, and I can speak this from a professional point, is I should have been dead at 30 because most people have committed suicide by that point in time with my level of anxiety. I grew up that way. But one of the things I realized was for most people who are fearful, vulnerability and tenderness guarantees only one thing. You are going to get hurt. Until you can learn to trust.
Amen.
Until you can learn to really believe that you can take care of yourself, then when that's true, vulnerability becomes an opportunity for acceptance. Tenderness becomes an expression of love and joy.
And growth into who you are. You think about it. You can write sex. You can write, you're having sex with a hamburger. And let me tell you, that's how you do it. You are find something that you want and be seductive with it, because it's beautiful. It's not, even with everything I've been through, there's beauty within sharing yourself with someone. There's nothing nasty or tasteless about it, and you can just bring it out however you want. I think you should just give it a try, Jeremy. Really, not a bashful, but what you see as sharing yourself with somebody. I think you'd be very surprised if you tried.
Oh, I've tried, Phil, and I've had some really good hamburgers in my life too, but it just doesn't come together for me.
Add cheese to it. Add cheese.
Socrates, what do you have to add to the conversation?
See, that's what he should do.
I agree with Phil. I need a cigarette after this, actually. I actually felt like this is a very inspirational poem, and I can imagine, like, violins and, like, strings being played and, like, on YouTube telling me to get a girlfriend and all that, you know, just, like, inspiring me to go on this journey, right? That was my take on it. And it was amazing hearing Tom, like, read this, because his pace in it was just so beautiful. It was really calm and very soothing, and that's why I imagine the violins, actually. And that's all.
Oh, thank you.
No, I like that you brought that up. I think that's a great point, Socrates, because I did notice that too, Tom, that you, each chapter in this, you switched up your pace. I mean, there was a crescendo, there was a buildup and a release on each chapter. So I think that's a great comment, Socrates. Faizy, what do you have to say?
Well, I was definitely blushing, but I absolutely loved this. And I have to agree with Felon. This needs to be, like, in sex ed classes. I'm like, teach the dudes what to do. Seriously, this is awesome. Really, really beautiful, sensual piece. It's so often when people try to be sensual, it ends up being, like, smutty. And this is not smutty at all. You know, it's overtly sexual, but it's in, like, a sexy way instead of a smutty way. I think this is wonderful. And I'm amazed how you managed to do the structure the way you do. Like, there's that diamond in the middle, the number two. No, not number two. Yeah, but there's this one part where it's like a perfect little like light bulb shape or flower, because you know you're talking about her petals and whatnot. And it's like when you start with up and you end up at you. I don't understand how you can focus on the structure and still get your point across, like, so perfectly. That's incredible. So, I don't know. I thought you were amazing, and I don't know how you don't have, like, a ton of women hitting on you after reading this. I mean, maybe you do, but this is awesome.
Great comment, Daisy. No, it's true. The format and the layout of this is just as sexy as the content. I think that's a great observation. And Tom, before we go to the next poem, do you want to, can you give yourself some plugs? Can you tell us where we can find your work? Are you solely here on All Poetry, or is there other places we can find your work?
Well, I have been published in a few places, odds and ends. I've been turned down in a whole lot of places, just like anybody else. I got a real nice, this will tell you a whole lot about me in a heartbeat. I put poems into Prism, which is a thing that is published here on All Poetry, and is well worth looking into. Really beautifully done stuff. And they have an award. They have several awards and in each issue. And they have one which is sort of the top award. And I'm one of those people who's like Dr. Mark, who says, why would I want to join a club that would accept me? I kept winning the award, and so I obviously couldn't mean anything. And then I read how how they selected it. What they did was they had these various professors at Australian universities in English departments who read over the poems that were in that issue and selected what they thought was the best poem. That's serious.
Absolutely.
And then the last year they went, we decide we count the person who won the who won that award the most times and make them poet laureate instead of just choosing somebody. And that person is Tom Burson, and so I was poet laureate for a year of the Prism, and I found that quite humbling.
Wow, I'm impressed. Very cool.
I have no clue how good I am because I'm too busy putting myself down. I had 72. I'm finally learning how not to do that too much, but I'm still not really good at it. It takes a lot of practice, and I've had too many years of practice in the other direction. I'm a pro at being nasty about myself.
Well, that's quite an honor. I'm glad you shared that with us. Very cool. Your next poem, let me make sure I did this right. Yes. Is up on the boards, ready when you are. Oh, no, that didn't work. Nope, I didn't do it right. Of course I didn't do it right.
Is it the last note?
No, let me try this one.
Yeah, that's just everything else.
Yeah, no, hey, let me try this. Can You, I think is the name of the poem.
Name the poem, I've got them all here printed out for me so I can do them all.
Can you hear the icy cry against spring's arrival?
Yes. Like I said, this one's about Alzheimer's. You'll understand. Can you hear the ice cry against spring's arrival? I watched the willows dance against a breeze. Remembered the moments when she spun a tendril of willow tears around her, stared down at me, growled, became a stripper, prancing, slipping in and out of shadows, leaving the branch behind like a discarded boa. Love was laughter, touching, and dreams so big we could fly with them. She rots in the living room, hums, suddenly gets up and dances to a song, 30 years old, and I try to catch before she falls. She has called the police twice to catch the prowler, called my name while she hit me. The tears I cried were not from being hit by her butterfly blows. I remember her catching a child, singing lullabies angels would gather to hear, cooking things up in the kitchen, her experiments we loved to test, so quick with a compliment, so fast to change anyone's frown to a smile. I have heard everything the doctors have to say. I have read all the stories and know all the signs. My heart will never understand as she grows more frail, becomes a memory in her own flesh. I look on the garden and the first crocuses, see the willows by the river start to green, wonder how I will shape the taste of winter and all the sighs of family and friends.
100% get where you're coming from. Wonderful read. 100% get where you're coming from when you say that this is about Alzheimer's. But for me, it's even more than that. It's a love poem. And I feel every bit of pain and anguish, but also heart. The heart of this is what really shines through for me. And I mean, it just reminded me so much of the story that famous movie book, The Notebook. I mean, and that was a love poem. That was a love story. And that's what I got out of this. And what I really like about what you presented to us tonight is the vast spectrum of theme that you've showed us. I mean, you've gone to all four corners, all six corners, all however many corners you want to count in your extremes, and you hit those points every time. And I'm impressed. I mean, I think the mark of a great poet is someone, and we talked about it earlier on Thelen's poems too, is someone that has the ability to branch out and not just focus on one theme, one area, one part of the whole human psyche. And so, I mean, bravo for all that, Thomas. I love this poem for that, and I love where you've taken us on the journey tonight. And so my deeper question for you in all of this is where have you gleaned, how have you honed your talent? Who has been your inspiration as a poet, like a famous poet? Where have you gleaned any of your tricks of the trade?
Well, like I said, I just wanted to be able to write beautiful poetry. I mean, it's easy to be angry. And I can speak from practice because when you have a high anxiety disorder, anger is your number one go-to. And it's really kind of a guilt trip for me because I'm also a birthright Quaker, Society of Friends. It'd be a whole other show to explain you what that means. But I'm a pacifist and have always been a pacifist. And it started when I was younger, and I would never give up, even when somebody beat the crap out of me. I never gave up. But I would never treat them that way in return either, because that made me just as bad as they are. But one of the things I could talk about for hours, and I'll try to say this in three sentences instead, is we have lots of words for the things we hate, but look how few words we have for the things we love. We have love, and if you can love candy like you love a person, they're not the same. Look at friendship. You have all kinds of friendship. You have people you're just getting to know and want to be friends with. You have people who you've known forever and are real friends. You have people who are just acquaintances. But you have to go through a whole lot of language because Eskimos may have 18 words for snow, but we only have one word for friendship and one word for love. And then we have a lot of explanations because we really don't know what the hell we're doing with our feelings or our emotions. And these things drive me because the reason I ended up being a therapist after years of refusing to do something like that was because I finally learned it wasn't my job to fix your problems. That's your job. My job was only to help you see what you needed to do. My poetry is driven really because one day I couldn't rhyme. I started learning English and how you were supposed to learn to spell and all that crap. We're in California, which is taught sort of one way, and then totally in the opposite way, and more rote. It was the way they taught it in Springfield, Virginia, and all I got was thoroughly confused. And so rhyme and meter only makes sense to me because it's music. But when my teacher and when I was in my junior year in high school, gave us Message, which you'd only get in a private school because it starts off simply Roger, Wept, Spun, and Pissed together, by Ginsberg. All of a sudden, I knew this was a way to speak about my feelings, to speak about the way the things were important, the real meaning of things, not just the explanation, but why you wanted to explain it. And that's been driving me ever since. I just, you know, that's the way life goes. Everybody's an inspiration. Living's an inspiration. Because let me tell you, I almost drowned once. And when I was sitting on the bottom of the water getting ready to open my mouth up and quit, some little voice inside me said, you can't die till you've given all you have for life. And so I stood up. And fortunately, the wave happened to be going out, and the currents had moved me closer to the beach, and I was able to catch a breath and stagger the rest of the way in. But I've never forgotten that little voice. You can't die.
Wow.
You give it all that's for life.
Wow. Hell of an answer, Thomas. I love that. Hell of an answer. Socrates, your comments.
This poem made me almost cry, actually. My grandma actually had Alzheimer's, and she also had dementia as well. And she passed away without knowing who any of your kids were. It was really sad. And the last stanza where it said, I have heard everything the doctors have to say. I have read all the stories and know all the signs. My heart will never understand as she grows more frail. Becomes a memory in her own flesh. Those lines are just so hard hitting it. And as soon as he started reading it, he just like, it became the most serious thing I've ever listened to. It was crazy. It reminds me of like someone that was like standing up against a bully almost, you know, except like it was sad instead of, you know, hopeful. It was very, very beautiful, and thank you for reading and sharing this.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I can't think of a greater compliment. I mean, any audience that can have a comment like that after a read. Wow. Great comment, Socrates. Faizy.
I love this poem. I actually gave it a gold in a contest last year. I like the part that Socrates pointed out, especially a memory in her own flesh. I mean, that is an incredible line. This is, I think, the third time I've heard this, and the first time I bawled my eyes out. It was like ugly crying, and I still got tears in my eyes this time, although I was prepared to know how it was going to go. It's powerful. The part where she thinks that he's breaking into the house, and she's calling for him to save her from this man that she doesn't recognize because, I mean, probably older than she's imagining. But that's just, oh, it's so heartbreaking. And just to see her, you know, fading and know what she used to be, it's devastating. I mean, I've definitely had a grandmother and a grandfather who we lost like this, but it's just to imagine a spouse going this way and that connection lost, it's just, oh, it breaks my heart so much. Beautiful, beautiful expression of something that a lot of people go through.
Thanks.
Wow. Great comment, Faizy. Felon, what do you have to say?
Well, for one, can you hear the icy craw against spring's arrival? And that's the cracking of the ice. And it can no longer stay cold and hold together and be solid. And it's melting because it's crying and it's weeping. It's losing season. It's losing the season that it's in. And that's what I gather from this, that this piece is about losing the season that she was in, the strength that she was. I'm sorry, babe. It brought me to tears. It really did. I could just see you in the kitchen and watching her cook and dancing with her and just sharing your lives together with children. People, I will say this, you're blessed. I've never had that feeling with somebody, and I wish I had. So just know you are blessed, but at the same time cursed, because to love someone that much, to give all that you are to them, that they paint you and you paint them, and then for them to lose who they are. And it must be very lonely for them, but most importantly, lonely for you, because you don't have that person that you used to be able to count on to get through life, because life is a crack of shit a lot of times. We just go through so much, but we have that one person that's our dance, it's our song, it's our whisper, it's our kiss, and then she's fighting you because she don't even know who she is. This is very heart felt. I think it's a great view on what happens, but most importantly, it speaks of your heart, and it speaks of the man, and it speaks of the love you have for her, and it's just, whoa. Very well written and just beautiful.
Great comments all around, guys. That was beautiful. I'm going to try to get another one in. If we get cut off, I apologize, but I want to keep the show rolling. So I think we're going to be okay. Thomas, your next poem is on the board. Ready when you are.
Oh. this is my reaction to Trump and all the bullshit. This is called buyout. The truth is not the story. Stories are sugar, making it easier to swallow. Truths gleam in the soul, make us stronger for the march to Gilead. Wars may be about who gets to decide whose telling is triumphant. The truth doesn't care. It doesn't change or provide approval. We fall in love with stories. We even worship heroes, cheer for the underdog, hold our breath, heart and throat. In those moments like Roland at the bridge, when glory hangs in the balance between light and darkness. Truth is not a sideshow or a popularity contest. It is not owned by party or candidate. We can be petty, righteous liars. At the campfire, tell tales to widen eyes, heighten fright, cry out with indignation. Truth isn't going to change sides or depend on majority rule. Sometimes it is a pea beneath the mattress of our restless sleep. It can be the hard rock we build our fortress upon. But once we have rested, when we've passed and our fortress worn to dust, crumbled stone and forgotten, unlike us, the truth will remain impervious, awaiting revelation.
Let's go, Socrates. What do you have to say?
I think this is a beautiful poem. And let me see. Well, I wanted to point out this one part. Can't find it. So I'll just point out this part. Sometimes it is the pea beneath the mattress of our restless sleep. It can be a hard rock we build our fortress upon, but once we have rested, we have passed and our fortress worn to dust, crumbled stone and forgotten. Unlike us, the truth will remain impervious, awaiting revelation. So I believe this poem is very digressive poem. It's about change, and I think it has a good use of cadence and diction. Very well word choice, and thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Wonderful compliment. Daisy, your thoughts?
Well, I love the shout out to The Handmaid's Tale with the Gilead. I really liked the idea that truth is not owned by a party or candidate. Some things that are, you know, facts have somehow become arguments between people who support different parties. It's like science doesn't change depending on your political beliefs. Talking about things that are, you know, facts or, you know, stuff like that has somehow become politicized, where I don't know, everything's become a thing about like what different parties believe, and that's ridiculous, this whole two-party system. And I'm Canadian, but we have the same issue of there's this divide between the Liberals and the Conservatives, and I don't know, I don't like that it's like blind taking of sides. I think you should pay attention to the actual like issue at hand. But I just really like the way that you put that as truth not being owned by the party or candidate. This is really clever, and I don't know, I really like your thought process and how you explain it.
Part of this comes from me as psychologist, by the way, because I always listen to people's stories, because the way they put together their story tells me a whole lot about who they are. I don't care what the facts are. The facts never change. But
right.
It's just like, you know, if you listen to a person, if you've been through something with somebody and you listen to them tell you about what happened, and you're in your head going, I didn't see any of that, or that's not what I remember. That's because that's what their story found important in terms of what was important to them and what was important in their lives. The stories are about what's important. They have nothing to do with truth.
Great comment. Felon, what do you have to add?
I really like this because a lot of people mix their emotions as a fact. Emotions is not fact. It is just something that we feel deep within, our perception. Perception is how we perceive it. It's an opinion. It's not, you know, substantiated facts. Our society today wants everybody to lean on false narratives of what they perceive and what they think, their opinions and their views, and not realize that everybody else has a view and thoughts too. But when you break it down to the brass knuckle of things, when it's the fact that you lean on, especially about biology and the human body, there is just two genders, male and female. You can't sway from that. Now, what you feel afterwards is on you, but you should not put that false narrative on me to make me think that there's something different, because that's when society is going to really start breaking down a whole lot more, is when we rely on what other people think and not what is the truth. The truth is, and they say the truth shall set you free. And also, it will let you sleep at night, remove that little pee out from it. And so sometimes people got a whole damn boulder under their beds. So I think this is very witty and clever, and it's an amazing write.
Great perspective, Helen. And I think we've had a pretty emotionally charged night tonight, guys. I mean, I think there's been a lot of great poetry. There's been a lot of tugs at the heartstrings, but I think the biggest revelation for me tonight is that Fazy is a Canadian. I mean, my whole world is rocked right now.
You didn't know that? Oh my God.
No, buddy.
You don't know me at all, do you, Jeremy?
Thomas, this is an amazing write. I mean, I've talked about this 100 times. There's a way about talking about religion. There's a way about talking about politics that is inclusive and exclusive and still conveying your point. And I like that you were able to be very forthright in what your thoughts are on this, but you're not off-putting. And I think in any way that we're all ever going to all come together is more conversations in this kind of vein. And I appreciate it for that. I think a person can hold their convictions, but not be insulting and not be overly aggressive or objective. So that's why I was drawn to this poem. I agree with your viewpoint, but regardless, I live with someone, I'm married with someone who has the opposite viewpoint. So I'm always sensitive that someone doesn't, if any point, any comment does not take into account the other person's convictions, I guess. So I applaud you for this poem. And it's been a treat, guys, tonight. I think we've gone a long ways. I love that we had so much participation. I love that we had two incredible headliners tonight in Felon and Thomas B that really opened their souls in more ways than one. You guys are both incredible poets. I encourage everyone to check out more of Felon's poems on All Poetry. Definitely check out more of Thomas B's poems. We only made through a few, but he has his whole set loose. And again, you can always click on his name and read everything he's contributed to this site. So, guys, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for everyone that called in. Thanks, Faizy. Thanks, Dude. Thank you to Socrates. And, of course, as always, thank you to my lovely co-host, the space designer, Pam Ray. Guys, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for the evening. Look forward to next Wednesday.
Good night.
All right, everybody.